Earth Explorers, welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country tonight or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become than you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio. So welcome, Earth Explorers from all over the planet. So glad to have you here with us tonight. We're coming to you live from Western North Carolina. Our AccuWeather window forecast, 57 degrees, clear outside. No chance of rain tonight. The stars are amazing, as is usually the case in North Carolina. Open lines all night tonight. If you want to reach us, you have a variety of ways of listening to X Squared Radio on the BBS Radio Network. We have been here for 5 years, and we enjoy it. Our phone numbers are, if you're off-planet, actually the solar wind is quite mild tonight, so you can come in close. Get to a cell phone tower, it's 530-413-4511. If you're east of Earth, 530-413-4515. And if you're west of Earth, 530-413-4520. And a lot of listeners like this way. It's pretty cool, actually, because you can Bluetooth it in. 712-432-0075 on your cell phone, and then put in the access code 318-116-pound. What this will do is allow you to listen to the program and all the callers, but you will be muted, so you won't be able to contribute, but you can listen to the program while you're out and about live. After 2 days of quiet, behemoth sunspot 1117 is once again crackling with solar flares. Magnetic fields around the active region became unstable tonight, unleashing a C2-class flare at 318 UT and a C6-class flare about an hour later. It is still alive and four times the size of Earth. It's now going over the western limb of the sun, but it will be back and may be capable of some powerful activity. So what I would do is just take the normal precautions. You might want to take your battery out of your cell phone when you're not using it. Unplug some appliances that you're not using, like your TiVo and things like that, just in case. The solar wind is a mild 349 kilometers per second, but you never know with that solar wind. We do have an active Borealis going in the Aurora region of above Norway. If you visit our friends at spaceweather.com, they'll certainly show you some great photographs of that. And the Eutelsat W3B satellite, that was just launched October 28th, so there's not a whole lot of news about it, what its capabilities were, but it was expensive and declared a total loss following discovery of a sizable leak in its fuel reservoir. And ground teams, as late as of the 29th, were preparing a maneuver to send it into the atmosphere to be destroyed. Could make for a pretty good light show. Eutelsat's and satellite builder Thales Alenia Space is the reporting agency. He says this is what we don't like, the idea of nuclear powered satellites. If we're going to build nuclear ion powered craft, they need to be sent off world toward other planets. Not that we like the idea of a nuclear explosion on another planet. That might not be seen too well by local residents, if there are any, of course. The unemployment rate is only based upon those former workers who are collecting unemployment. I mean actively getting an unemployment check. Once the benefits run out, you give up and start earning money on the side or accept part-time employment, you're not included in the calculation. When those individuals are put back into the figures, the rate for California is actually around 22.5%. In Charlotte, it's closer to 18.5%. And in Kentucky, the rate is closer to 25%. One in four people are not gainfully employed. These are numbers very close to those of the early 1930s, just after the Depression. The only difference is that the Dow is very high. That is the only difference. Foreclosures, inflation, and personal savings are at rates matching those of the Depression circa. And although the wealthy have more cash than ever in the history of the world, I mean, some of these guys can buy states, they have made no cash available to the market for use in the community. In North Carolina, there are more than 3,300 Small Business Administration loan applications that remain unprocessed. More than 90% of these applications are from unemployed persons seeking to start their own businesses in lieu of full-time employment that does not exist. Is there an answer to personal sovereignty? Yes. It requires you to control your own destiny instead of handing it over to others to do it for you. Remember this. You are always self-employed. Get that? Even if you work for someone else, look down. Go ahead, look down. Left foot, right foot, side by side. That's where your sovereignty begins and ends. You are always self-employed. The company you work for resells your labor for three times what you give them. That's so they can make a profit. And they are not loyal to you. They will fire you before noon tomorrow if they think it will benefit them. And there is a new breed of HR manager out there. The vast majority of HR managers, and by the way, if you are one, you can give me a call tonight and refute that. I've given the numbers. I'll give it to you again. The vast majority of HR managers today have never paid a dime in unemployment benefits, and they will do almost anything to maintain that reputation. Believe me, I've had them work for me, and I've worked with them myself in other companies as a contractor. They pride themselves on laying off thousands and never paying a penny in unemployment benefits. There were 22 earthquakes in the last 24 hours, with only four measuring over 5.0. The earth is very quiet. If you are getting yourself ready for tough times, as though they aren't already upon us, you want to be sure that you are not a burden upon emergency suppliers of services. For instance, you don't want to have FEMA taking care of you. You don't want the Red Cross or the National Guard having to worry about feeding you. I think you're able to do something about it ahead of time, and you surely are, by calling our affiliates 1-800-PREPARE.com. 1-800-PREPARE.com has put together a comprehensive, very easy-to-use online store that sells packages and prices all of your survival needs. Food that lasts for 25 years, backpacks, water filters, compasses, lighting devices, simple medical supplies, generators, anything that you might need for survival, and even survival in some semblance of comfort. 1-800-PREPARE.com, put together by my friend Paul Faust, who is a retired EMT. His friend is a firefighter. His friend's an EMT. They saw a great need in New York in 9/11, and they had a dream. So they put together this company, and they're doing quite well at it and well for us. We don't make a penny off of it, but you can get a discount. When you go to 1-800-PREPARE.com, when you get ready to check out, put in the code Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S, and you'll get an extra 10% off. We just want to help them out. We want to help you out. And Paul Faust does a great job up there. So take care of him. He'll take care of you. Last week, Remembering the Future, the Physics of the Soul and Time Travel, took off like a rocket. It made it to number 4 on Amazon in the motivational spiritual category and number 9 in the self-help category. And that was quite impressive to us. We like Amazon actually taking the different genres and breaking them out for people. Also, those of you that access the website, rememberingthefuturebook.com, rememberingthefuturebook.com, if you bought the book from us, you're going to get the autographed copy. Now, I want you to have a little bit of patience because last week they wiped out my warehouse. I had to reorder twice. I have sent out wheelbarrow loads of signed books for those of you that ordered it from the website. But there's another bonus. If you order it from the website, you also get the download of the entire book in audio. So if you're not a great reader, don't worry about it. I read it for you, and you can put it on your iPod, MP3 device, CDs, whatever, play it in your vehicle or on your phone, and you can get the benefits of it that way. It also has a method of meditation that is described in the end of the book. The reason that we put that in there is because the book is intended to give you the real-world tools to be able to master the law of attraction. That meditation is highly facilitated by you accompanying the purchase of the book with the purchase of the audio CD from my friend and teacher, Maureen St. Germain. We both practice the Flower of Life meditation, which was supremely crafted by Drunvilla Melchizedek. I took one class from him, two from Maureen. Do very well with it. It is a busy person's meditation method, 17 breaths, and you're in. And then in the book, I teach you the 18th breath. Now, you can use this by itself. I don't recommend it. I recommend mastering the Flower of Life meditation and then adding the 18th breath to it, because you need to learn how to get into your heart effectively so that you can listen to the universe, listen to the energy of what you have started in the world, so that when it comes back, you know when to hit it, when to tap it, when to make resonation work for you, like it is already working for thousands who have purchased the book. We need you, and the planet can't get by without you. And if the statistics are right, and we're going to go over that a little bit tonight, as we open up the phone lines, I want your input on it as well. Many of you need it, and that's why it was written. Because literally, the book was brought back from the future for you here in this day, in the past, which is the present for you and me right now. We can make changes which can affect the future. So those are the two affiliates I want you to work with tonight. And don't lose track, because we're going to cover something we don't normally cover, but in lieu of doing ghost stories on Halloween night, though you can call me and we'll talk about anything you want to talk about, we're going to talk about something that's also happening this week, the elections, from a little bit different point of view. I think you'll like it. We'll be back in 40 seconds. Don't go away. X Squared Radio. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. So those of you that are watching your computer screens, you already know this number, but those of you that are listening and doing something else, or are listening to this on the radio as this is rebroadcast on many, many stations around the world, if you can get close to a cell phone tower off-world, you can get to us at 530-413-4511. East of Earth, it is 530-413-4515. West of Earth, 530-413-4520. And if you can also listen by cell phone if you like, just hang your Bluetooth on your ear, grab the wheel of your car, and take off. You can listen to the entire program at 712-432-0075 with the access code 318-116-POUND. A service made available by BBS Radio. We like being here 5 years now. Coming up on our 1,000th hour, by the way. It's nice to see that kind of stuff coming together. In the news, the U.S. Department of Defense got more than $9 billion from the sale of Iraqi oil and other revenue streams to be used for reconstruction inside the war-damaged nation, and spent it, but now cannot document where $8.7 billion of those funds went. Let me run that by you again. They took in $9 billion from the sale of Iraqi oil and other revenue streams, and they cannot account for $8.7 billion. That's only $300 million that they can account for. And this is according to an Inspector General's report, and it's published online. Maalouf reported the Inspector General paperwork documented that the U.S. still holds some $34.3 million of development funds money, even though it was supposed to have been turned over to Iraq years ago. No one knows where the money went. Close to $9 billion, people. So here is an interesting poll. You don't see these very often. You hear it talked about from time to time, and popular politics or populist politics, but this is an interesting note. Let's face it. Most Americans don't have much use for either of the major political parties, and I think it would be better if you considered this. Most of them would rather dump the entire Congress on Election Day. Gee, sounds like they've been listening to X Squared Radio. No, I'm serious. A new Rasmussen poll reports National Telephone Survey finds that 65% of likely U.S. voters say if they had the option next week, they would vote to get rid of the entire Congress and start all over again. And here's, this is even more important. Only 20% would opt to keep the entire Congress instead. 15% aren't sure. But that's pretty powerful, folks, because that's what we have suggested for about a year now, is that there are only 435 of these guys and women. We have about 200 million adults competent and rightfully capable to vote in the United States. You cannot tell me that among that population, 435 men and women of good character cannot be found. And by the way, I would like to mention that one of the best places to get a man of good character is from a boy of good character. And in my opinion, the best place to get a boy of good character, or to build one, is in the Boy Scouts of America. That's my opinion. Surely prejudiced by 6 years as a scoutmaster in the Boy Scouts of America. Yes, Eagles rock. Yes. What? Yes, of course I can. Yes. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Of course I can still recite it. Thank you very much. No, I didn't read that. I memorized it. I've taught it to a lot of Boy Scouts. The Pythagoras Conference coming up on April 15th. It's actually been moved to November. And this is really important because it's 11-11-11. Yeah. November 11th, 2011. You can start planning now. You can even sign up now by going to X Squared Radio and clicking on the Pythagoras Conference banner. There's a $100 discount on there if you go through X Squared Radio. This is really the first Midwestern Central Conference of its kind. 20 of the genre's greatest speakers, workshops, and a superb chance to network in the emerging science and paranormal community. There have been conferences before in this region, but nothing this large and with the resources that this one will have. Trust me, this one's going to be in Louisville, Kentucky, right on the river. I can't tell you the venue right now. Yes, I know what it is, but I'm not going to tell it to you right now because that's not the important part. I don't want you to concentrate on that. I want you to realize that the reason this location is important is because 73% of the U.S. is within driving distance of this conference. That means it's affordable, and I guarantee that if you have never been to a conference, that you will be amazed, and you'll definitely be enlightened. So we want to see you there. Pythagoras Conference, 11-11-11. Also, don't forget to click on the Web Talk Radio banner at X Squared Radio. It's a short 30-minute version of the program. The more you click and the more your friends that you send there, the better our chances of syndication. That means we get to play on the airwaves with the big boys. So let's spread the word. After all, we need something positive out there. And that's why we formed X Squared Radio. Those of you that know a little bit of algebra know that X squared is a really neat function. Every number put into it comes out positive. Oh, okay, every number except one. And that number is the square root of negative one, also called I. So I try to stay out of the way of the guest, and you, I'm a facilitator, certainly will add my 2 cents worth, and maybe my 2 cents is in good intention. So we try to keep everything positive here. We don't take people apart limb from limb. And that's why people listen all over the world. That's why X Squared Radio is often the number one radio program on the BBS radio network. It's important to us to keep that rating. It's important that you know that X Squared Radio on the BBS radio network, the BBS radio network, by the way, has an opportunity for you if you're interested in starting or becoming or taking your chances as a talk radio host. No better place to start because you don't have the ability to take your own live calls. You don't have the ability to store your own archives. The only sound equipment you have is a telephone. That's fine. That's great. Start up with BBS Radio and grow, because BBS Radio is the largest internet talk radio network on the net. Don't believe me? Haha. Go to Alexa and check it out for yourself. 20 million hits a week. They are in the top 100,000 websites on the web. Interestingly enough, rememberingthefuturebook.com made it to 131,000 this week on Alexa. Not bad for just a website that sells one book, Remembering the Future, the Physics of the Soul, and Time Travel. Also in the news, a pair of NASA spacecraft that were supposed to be dead a year ago are instead flying to the moon for a breakthrough mission in lunar orbit. Now, you've often heard about us talk on this radio program about the Themis probes. Shortly after, images came back from satellites showing auroras over both poles of the Earth at the same time. NASA became, well, confused and excited at the same time. Confused because the solar wind doesn't strike both sides of the planet at the same time. Excited because they had a rare opportunity to put some satellites into space that could work with one another and try to determine what the real source of the auroras is. Whether the source comes from out there somewhere, or whether the theory that Earth might be hollow and there might be high velocity ion streams coming out of the Earth at the poles, and maybe have a better correlation with the arrival of the auroras than anything else out there. So they launched the Themis probes. It's a single capsule, had five satellites in it. They distributed themselves at different altitudes. And for the way they go around the Earth, every once in a while, they randomly line up with one another. They turn on and take measurements. And they have, for lack of a better purpose, kind of identified that it's cosmic bullets or plasma bullets that cause the auroras. Now, it wasn't really that repeatable because the satellites were solar powered. And they're not made to operate in darkness for more than about 2 hours at a time. However, the top two satellites, as the mission wore on, their orbits evolved. And by 2009, roughly a year and a half after they were launched, the pair of outside satellites called P1 and P2 passed through the shadow of the Earth as much as 8 hours a day. And the spacecraft were running out of power and literally freezing to death, says Angelopoulos, one of the engineers over the program. He says, we had to do something to save them. So the team brainstormed a solution because the mission had gone so well. The spacecraft still had an ample supply of fuel, enough to go to the moon. He says, we could do some great science from lunar orbit. And, of course, they would not be in more than 2 hours of darkness going around the moon. He says, NASA approved the trip, and in late 2009, P1 and P2 headed away from the shadows of Earth. So now the spacecraft are being renamed Artemis, which stands for the Greek goddess of the moon, but it also stands for, and you got to love these acronyms that they come up with, Acceleration, Reconnection, Turbulence, and Electrodynamics of the Moon's Interaction with the Sun. Ta-da, Artemis, there you go. So P1 and P2 are happily orbiting the Moon, and hopefully we will see some data from that. Now, keep in mind that these are not optical satellites. They don't take pictures, so you're not going to see anything like that. What they are experts at, these satellites are really, really well equipped for, is picking up radiation. All kinds, radio waves, high energy particles, gamma rays, X-rays. So we're going to see what comes off the surface of the moon, what's outside the magnetosphere of the Earth, passing through our solar system that we don't really get a chance to look at, because most of the satellites out there, most of the geosynchronous and Earth orbiting satellites don't have the set of instrument that these two little satellites have on them. So we'll see what we get back from them. So I want you to stand by tonight because we do have open lines all night, and we are going to discuss the current political situation, but not like you hear from the daytime pundits. Not a lot of opinion. We will ask a lot of questions. Get your mind going. I might just do a memory test on you. Just to see if you've got your mental capacities going so that you can keep up with this. I often do this with my team members as I walk the floor at the plant from time to time. I will go out and I will need their input on some very high-level engineering. And so to get their brains in the right mood and get the juices flowing, I will give them some kind of a logic test. So here you go. Now, you could probably look this up on the internet really fast. Maybe not. I don't know. It's these are Mensa questions that we used to get. So see if you can write this one down. Now, you only get these questions, and then you have really 1 minute to respond, 1 minute only on the test. But I'll give you all night, and I'll take all kinds of answers. Whatever you want to call and give me, I'll take is fine. Here's the challenge. Here are the pieces of equipment that you have and the setting that you have, and you can solve the problem and call me back and let me know what it is. You have a double pan balance. You know what that is? It's a balance with the two pans on it. If they have equal weight on it, then the needle is right in the middle, and if one of the pans is heavier than the other, then it goes down and the needle shifts one way or the other toward the heavy pan. You've got that balance sitting on a table, and on the table is a stack of 24 quarters, ordinary quarters, or should I say extraordinary quarters, because 23 of those quarters weigh exactly the same, one to another. One of the quarters, one of the 24 quarters, is heavy. In three measurements, dividing those quarters up any way you like, in three measurements, find the heavy quarter. Call me back. Let me know how you solve the problem. Just tell me how you would divide up the quarters in three measurements to find the heavy quarter. That will get your mind working. Okay. No, what? No, I'm not going to text it out there. I just told you what it is, and that's what you got to stick with. So if you can't remember it, then you can't play. Yeah. All right. Here's the case in point on politics. Case in point. The Pentagon is suing Congress to gain access to the highest resolution satellite imagery of the Earth. Not of space, mind you, of Earth. The Pentagon has access all the way down to 1.5 meter resolution, nothing smaller than that. We already have technology in operation that provides less than 1 meter resolution. That's more than 30% better resolution than the Pentagon currently has the right to access. The question is, who does have access to that resolution? The NSA? Homeland Security? If the American military leaders cannot access it, then who can? That's the number one question tonight, once you figure out the memory test. Now, I'm not saying you can't call in if you don't have the answer to the memory test, but if you do, if you can figure it out, it's just a simple logic question. If you can figure it out, give us a call back. I'll tell you the numbers one more time. Off planet 530-413-4511. East of Earth 530-413-4515. West of Earth 530-413-4520. And, of course, if you're listening by cell phone, you won't be able to ask the question. You can also send me the answer over Skype. My Skype is on, so you can just send me a Skype text message. Don't try to call me because I'm not going to answer the phone, because that's how you're hearing me right now. We're connected through Skype. That's why it's so crystal clear. Skype is a great way for the world to connect one to another. But you can send me the text message, and I'll get it, and that'll be great. So that's the phone numbers if you want to reach us tonight. So we want to know, why is it, first of all, that that the Pentagon has to sue Congress to get access to the higher resolution satellite imagery of Earth? And the second question is, who in the world is getting the high resolution, and why? Is it the CIA? Is it the IRS? Who's watching us down here and why? So we want to know. So does American politics satisfy everyone? I mean, American policy is a multi-billion dollar show that stirs up public factions to near civil war energies, and yet it truly does not seem to change much, except how much of the money is spent to buy more votes. Why is the choice of a politician important to the direction of the economy of the nation? Is the spirit of the president the spirit of the nation? Or are we being manipulated by the press? That's a series of serious thought there. You know, politics is not really Washington. If you ever get a chance to go there and work with them, see them face to face, sit down with them, talk with them, you will see that they have their little sound bites, their mannerisms, their camera persona. But when you sit down with them face to face, it's not that they're insignificant. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that we have two different kinds of Washingtons going over there in D.C. One is the one that you see on C-SPAN, the one that you see on all of the talk shows and here on the radio. And the other is a greatly outnumbering, immensely multi-trillion dollar infrastructure called the bureaucracies. Oh, you can call them agencies, you can call them departments, energy and transportation and FDA and EPA and blah, 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 education. And big buildings they all are, and fully staffed they certainly are, parking lots full and dry cleaners busy on every corner. But it's the bureaucracies, the unelected minions in those buildings that spend our money, that decide where the money goes. They're the ones that decide how the economy works. And unfortunately, or fortunately, hard to say, all of those are beholden to the appointees, otherwise known as the cabinet, of the president. Ah, yes. And you know that it is against the law for a president to mention who his cabinet is going to be before Election Day. A candidate, should I say. Yeah, a candidate cannot say, if I am elected president, I will have Lee Iacocca, head of the Department of Transportation. I will have the best teacher in America as the head of the Department of Education. No. You can't announce that. It's against the law. After the president is elected, then he takes the little envelope out from the inside breast pocket and he opens it and he reads the names of the talented and deserving individuals who have done the least amount wrong and are now the heads of those departments, members of his cabinet all. And as long as they don't do too much embarrassing, they might not have to resign. And they'll make it through the entire presidency. But they are the ones that determine where the money goes. They're the ones that determine how the law is going to be followed. In fact, if it is going to be followed at all. And it is they who carry out not the agenda of the lawmakers themselves. No, no, not those that have actually crafted the law, that have thought things through, that have come back and sat down with their constituencies and heart-stormed and brainstormed to find answers and solutions and then gone back to Washington and said, here's what we need to do to help our constituency in Nebraska, in Alabama, in Montana. This is the best for all. And they write that law and off it goes. And how it is interpreted and how it is implemented is figured out by a team of experts. Oh, they're experts. They've been there before the Congress was elected, and they will be there after that Congress retires. In fact, a congressman that has less than two terms, less than three terms, is called a temp. And he better not pick the phone up and call anybody over there at those departments. Because that's a surefire way to end his career. He will not end up on any committees if he does that. And those that do make the committees, there are certain lines you don't cross. Because if you do, you're not going to be supported. Party money is not going to flow into your election. And mysteriously, you're going to lose. So that is the public show of politics. And that's why it doesn't seem whoever we elect and send to Washington, nothing seems to get done in our hometown. In our little Congress, in our little legislators in our states, we don't see the results. Because it doesn't matter how vocal or how articulate that person is that we send to Washington, they are going to be emasculated when they walk in the buildings of the bureaucracies. And many would ask the question, is it true? Is it true that the president is the spirit of the nation? Then perhaps we as a people should decide for ourselves what we want to be as a nation, how we want to lead, or for that matter, if we want to follow another nation's leader, and then solicit that candidate ourselves, instead of letting handlers in the basement of Congress and Senate decide who is going to be our candidate. You ever get frustrated with that? I mean, you look at the primaries and you go, let's see, not him, not him, not him. No, definitely not him. No. What? I mean, there's no more to choose from? How come? Why not? Why didn't you pick somebody that had capability to do something, to win something, to represent us properly? Why are those guys the candidates for the primary? You know, one of the reasons I got involved in writing speeches for candidates, this was in the 90s in the primaries, and there was a gentleman who was running for office, and his name was Alan Keyes. And there were some debates, and arguably, Alan Keyes was the best debater on the circuit. No question about it. This was an open debate, had a lot of candidates in it, except for Alan Keyes. And it was held in Atlanta. And Alan Keyes went to the debates anyway, knowing his rights, and went there, walked up the steps, and was arrested. Yes, he was arrested by police. They put him in the back of the car, and they drove him around. Just drove him around until the debate was over. And then they let him out in front of a Burger King downtown and said, "Have a nice day." So Alan Keyes went to the press, tried to have a press conference, and hardly anyone covered it. But I heard about it. So I called him down there at his office, and I talked to him and his staff for a little while on the phone. I wasn't anybody. I was just, helping out with the city council up in my little town and representing the best I could on the school board, some citizens in our neighborhood. I had a kid in every county, every school in the county, so I better be involved. Anyway, I told him, one of the reasons you don't do so well in our state of Tennessee at that time was you're too smart. Your sentences are too long. You have to go through a syllable reduction program, my man, if you're going to speak in these two states. Now, that's not saying that the education level of those two states is lacking. Far from it. It's that his was so far above the average readership of the average sixth or eighth grader, which is where the newspapers are written, that people couldn't follow what he was saying. Now, those of us that, had somewhat of a mastery of the language knew what was going on and realized that Alan Keyes came down on the right side of every issue that was near and dear to us in the Republican Party at that time. So I offered to write speeches for him, and I did. And he started doing better. But then there was a scheduling conflict, and the office called me up one day and said, "Listen, you've written this speech for Dr. Keyes. He's supposed to go down and speak at the Lincoln birthday fundraiser down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And he has a conflict. He can't be there. He's got to be somewhere else. So we want you to go down, and we want you to give the speech." I said, "Okay, I'll go. No questions." Drove all the way to Chattanooga, got there, and the candidates in the primary that I was to speak with at that, there were three. One was John McCain, one was Bob Barr, who was a congressman, and the other was Zach Womp, who was at that time a local legislator, not a federal legislator. Now he is running for a higher office. And so we went into the ante room and we drew straws as to who was going to speak first. And I drew number four. I got to speak last. Rules were you could speak no more than 10 minutes. And that's all the rules there were. Now, I had prepared an exactly 10 minute speech for Alan Keyes. I had prepared it the way he would speak on subjects that he would speak on. And the first speaker, I believe, was John McCain. His representative, not him, his representative got up and read a letter which John McCain had written. And it took about 4.5 minutes, and it was dry as toast. You could hear spoons tapping against glasses and people kind of chuckling out in the darkness of this rather large hall. There's probably 400 or 500 people in there. And he got, you know, warm applause and sat down. And then Bob Barr, which was notoriously dull and lived up to that reputation quite well. And then Zach Womp got up, number three, and he laid out a good old-fashioned Baptist revival hoorah speech. Wasn't written, nothing rehearsed, just a lot of lines, one put behind the other. And he certainly did a good job and got everybody on their feet, and they clapped, and it was wonderful. And then they sat down and say, "What did he say? What did he say? Well, that's just it. No substance. Man, it sounded good. Can really deliver words. And then it was my turn. So I got up, I went up there, I took the prepared speech, which I had written for Alan Keyes, and I began to speak. I spoke for 9 minutes and 45 seconds to 3 standing ovations, and on my way to sitting down, John McCain's representative stands up, he's much taller than I am, sticks his hand out and says, "That was a real piece of literature. Fine work, young man." Now, of course, I spoke on the subjects of the day, you know, abortion and education and national defense and, of course, the spirit of the nation, things that Alan Keyes was very eloquent in, and in that speech, had he been there, of course, would have been excellent. The interesting thing was the next night I was in Nashville, Tennessee, listening to talk radio, and then Senator Jim Sasser was on the radio speaking to the reporters, and they were talking about the Lincoln fundraiser down in Chattanooga the night before. "Wow," they said, "there was this guy that got up and spoke in place of Alan Keyes, and if you closed your eyes, I swear he sounded just like Alan Keyes. I mean, the words, the delivery, the energy, everything was great. It was an awesome speech." I couldn't remember my name. Yeah, couldn't remember my name. Of course, that was in the 90s, and, you know, I was young then, you know, younger than I am now. I'm still young. But now I've been on BBS Radio for 5 years, and I'm people call me a pseudo celebrity. That's what it was. Yeah, my publisher said, "You're kind of a pseudo celebrity." I said, "What is a pseudo celebrity? You know, pseudo, I know the Latin, my friend. It means false, okay? False celebrity. It means that nobody really knows you. You just think you're a celebrity." Well, maybe I do, maybe I don't. But nonetheless, number four on Amazon's pretty good for a self-published author. Not to toot my own horn, what I'm trying to do is get you to realize that any intention that you set, no matter how large it is, can be achieved just through the principles of the book. So, it looks like we have a taker who's figured out our quarters in the balance question. Dale from Colorado, line one, welcome to the program.
Hello.
How are you, Dale?
Oh, I'm doing really good, Brooks. How about yourself?
I'm doing awesome. Do you have an answer to our quarters in the balance question?
Yes, you would divide the number by 3 and weigh 2 of the stacks, which would be the wrong stack. Then you would add 1, divide it by 3 again, weigh 2 stacks, end up with 3 coins. Weighing 2 coins, you would know the wrong coin.
We have a winner. Ha, ha, ha. This is great. You know, a lot of people think like Klingons. They want to put
Hold
all
on,
the
quarters. I'm standing too close to the internet.
Okay.
All right, I'm out of the way.
All right. That's the right answer. You know, a lot of people think like Klingons. They only think about the balance. They don't think about the table being the third place that you could put the quarters. That's exactly right. You divide by three.
Well, my great-great-grandfather wrote the first math book in Kentucky.
That's great. I am so impressed. Yes, you could definitely come to work for me. That's awesome. Yeah, I've given that question out a lot.
I've been a concrete guy for 30 years, but I have so many concepts in my brain that would work.
Well, that's good. You just need to find somebody who will implement them. You could probably keep a team of engineers busy all day long.
Yes, sir, I could.
Just.
And I've been working on an electric car in my brain for years, but I can't read or write.
Well, that's okay. Just the symbols of how we put our pictures into words. But you can speak, and that's good. Somebody could write it down, record it, and put your ideas out there. And that's good. You know, we've been working on electric cars as an industry probably since about 92 or 93, and they were pretty simple back then. And we just loaded the car, put batteries, plugged it in, and took off until they wore out. Now, they're a little more sophisticated, and in some cases, I think, too sophisticated to be practical on American roads. And maybe there's a different system of thinking when you think about electric cars. You know, I believe that complexity is the cloak of mediocrity. I think simplicity is the crown of genius.
Well, my father was also a NASA award-winning computer programmer. He won the Snoopy Award.
Oh,
which
wow.
Is a Snoopy pin that went around the Earth 99 times with a Challenger.
Nice.
And, I'd really like to talk to you off air sometime.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun, because if we just talk electric cars, we're going to lose everybody. So you want to answer, help me with some of these political questions that I've laid out tonight?
Oh, sure, anyone you want.
All right, here's the thing. We are being sold a bill of goods every 4 years. And for what? Which party will dominate the lawmaking? Does liberal and conservative really make a difference? Let me ask you that right off.
Well, I think it's all ruled by the Federal Reserve. Whoever they're paying votes the way they pay.
Well, it's clear that the Federal Reserve is holding on to most of the wealth of this country, and not by force. The wealthy and the banks of this country have parked their money at the Fed because the Fed is paying interest. It's very secure, and it's a cinch. I mean, you could figure it out. Just go out on the street and try to raise money for your project, and you'll see there's no money out there. It's like somebody went with a vacuum cleaner and sucked it out of every safe of every hill and hamlet and took it to the Fed, because that's where the money is. And it's
that's
not,
right, and now we've got to beg, borrow, and steal from them.
Yeah, well, I don't think that can be done. Even the local banks are deathly afraid of borrowing money from the Fed, because right behind it, as soon as the money arrives, right behind it arrive the regulators to find out what's in your bank.
Yeah, I'm afraid of the government today.
What makes you say that? What is your fear of the government today?
Well, I fear they have no intention of taking care of my grandchildren or great-grandchildren. They're all out for the wealth of themselves.
Well, that being said, a lot of us would say we want to hold on to our sovereignty and don't want the government to take care of us. We just want the government to get out of our way and let us do what we do best. Innovate.
Oh, yeah, and I think this would be a working country if we all just were allowed to produce something.
Right. So it appears that liberals confiscate wages from the middle class and give it out to the wealthy corporations. Now, if you disagree, you know, I'm totally willing to listen. But last year, North Carolina took in more than $1.4 billion in grants from federal agencies, and every dime went to multi-billion dollar corporations and universities. Not a penny.
Oh, I think that's wrong. I think the real thinkers of the world are the little people.
You know, I got to thinking about that one day. If you In fact, I was standing around talking with Congressman Larry Kissel, and I literally was standing right next to him, and we were discussing this very issue. And he leaned in close, and he said, well, there's a reason why these guys are working out of their garage.
I think that's wrong.
I do, too. I if I had known him a little bit better, I would have said, Larry, Thomas Edison just rolled over in his grave. Okay? Don't ever say that again in public.
What about Benjamin Franklin?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Well, Benjamin Franklin
was
a diplomat and had access to the public coffers, but, you know,
well,
Thomas Edison.
But, you know, he produced for the people. I mean, he may have been kind of a greedy, backstabbing guy, too, but he really helped the people also. Every man for himself,
was,
but every man had a chance.
Franklin was definitely a diplomat, and the French loved him. They worshipped him. They would have made him president of France if he would have gone to France and relocated. They loved him. He was a great diplomat. He was not a warrior. And he didn't get involved in any of that. You know, you don't see his signature on any of the important governmental documents. But he was a great diplomat and a great thinker. And he was an inventor. But he also had the wherewithal to follow it up.
Yeah. He was the first treasurer, and that put him in the pocket.
Yes, that's exactly right. And if you'll remember, during those days, government was pretty much broke. I mean, they didn't have an income tax. The only way they had of making money was tariffs and taxes
right.
on things leaving and entering the country. So the idea of forming a national bank became, you know, first and foremost. I mean, Hamilton was excellent at trying to craft something like the Fed run by government. And Jefferson and the rest of them absolutely opposed it because that's what they got into in Europe. I mean, the government controlled the banks and the banks controlled the people. And they said, no, 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 we're not going to have a national bank. So we ended up with a national bank called
right.
the Federal Reserve, which is not federal. And they got nothing in reserve.
I agree. And it's all just printed.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't fault them for wanting to flow money to the banks or wanting to meet the credit needs of their community. But if you go to the banks as a small business today and you say, I would like to borrow money to put inventory in my system so that I can build my product, turn that inventory into finished goods and sell it to my consumers and make a profit, they will say to you, and what property are you going to put up as collateral for that inventory?
Exactly.
What do you mean, what property? No, they want a first mortgage on your home or your plant or your parents' plants or somebody's building so that they have a first mortgage against a piece of real estate to cover that inventory. And you know how many small businesses have that? None.
None. And then they can rig you to fail and take it all.
Right. Now, that also means that, I mean, you can't just everybody that walks in, you know, from wedding cake makers to, you know, anti-gravity drive, and you can't just give them a loan like the Yes Man, because what will happen is you'll have a lot of defaults on the books, and the bank will go broke. I mentioned earlier in the program there were 3,300 Small Business Administration loans in the state of North Carolina that have not been processed. That's true. That's true. And there's pressure from the White House, from Obama, for the state to hurry up and get some of those, 1,000 of them, 2,000 of them, passed, because they need jobs in the system. The trouble is the banks are saying, no way, we're not passing them unless somebody underwrites those loans, because 90% of those small businesses are going to go broke, because the people in our banks don't know how to assess a business.
Right.
So what's the solution, Dale? I mean, do we get smarter bankers with business area experts or what? How do we solve the problem?
Well, I think for starters, the Congress needs to take back over the issuance of money. And then it's going to be hard to get it kickstarted again. But it's going to take the productivity of every American to do it. Everybody's going to have to produce something, no matter how small it is. If every one of us is producing something, it'll help us get out of this. Even growing a carrot or a line of carrots in your yard. Nothing's going to solve the problem immediately, except for Congress.
Well, yeah, I mean, it could be. It could be. As I read the statistic earlier, 65% of likely voters say that if it's possible, they would like to fire every man and woman in Congress and replace them.
Well, I agree to that, except for maybe Ron Paul.
Well, Ron Paul and Rand Paul, both of them.
Yes,
of course, Rand
Paul's
only been in office since this summer.
I think
every state has those people that they would like to keep. I think Larry Kissel's a stand-up guy. He's done marvelous things for us. A great guy. Came out of textiles, went into education, finally ran for Congress, won. He is not a supporter of Obama, even though he's a Democrat. Awesome guy. We love Larry Kissel.
Well, but I can't keep track of every congressman from every area either. But
exactly right.
But the ones that stand out, that's... So I can't say everyone needs to be replaced, but I'm replacing mine.
There you go. There you go. Now, that's one solution, is to send better representatives to Washington and hope that it takes a little bit longer to corrupt them than it does most people, and you can get something done. The other thing to do is to say, well, you know what, I'm a member of the middle class or the lower middle class or the poor. And I don't really pay that many taxes. I mean, the taxes aren't really designed to tax me. I make less than $30,000 a year or $40,000 a year. You're not going to pay that much taxes. In fact, most people I know that make less than $30,000 a year have never paid a dime of tax, federal tax, in their whole lives. They usually get way more back than they pay in, because they have kids and they have earned income credits and things like that, and they just don't pay any taxes. Now, that
right.
being said, there's a lot of them out there, tens of millions of them out there. If they decided as a class that they wanted to make something happen in the country, and they voluntarily taxed themselves 20, 30 bucks a month, which would be nothing compared to what the federal government would take out of their checks, $20-$30 a month as a class of people, and focus it on one industry, they could turn it around voluntarily without taxes.
Oh, yes, sir. The problem is, many of us are just struggling trying to live. We can't even worry about the taxes because it's hard, or investing in a company, because we're just struggling to survive.
Well, that's true. We all look at it that way. We all do. But, you know, if the government were to come in and take the money out of your check, you'd have no choice. What we're saying, or logically, is you do have a choice. So put the onus on yourselves and be sovereign and say, this is an industry that we want to pull away from the major corporations, and we want to give small companies a chance to start on their own and get going. I think it's doable, but it's going to take organization, and that's something that that most classes of people are not ready to do. They're not ready to organize.
Oh, I agree. You can't say government and organization in the same sentence.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, we're trying to stay organized here, and congratulations for solving our balance problem, and thanks for calling X Squared Radio.
No problem. I had it in about 2 seconds.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Dale. We're going to take a quick break here on X Squared Radio. Just get yourself a glass of water or whatever else you want to refresh yourself. And we'll be back right after this. Take it easy, and we'll be back with the second hour of X Squared Radio. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. To join us tonight, you can reach us from off planet by getting to a cell phone tower, 530-413-4511. If you're west of Earth, it's 530-413-4520. And if you're east of Earth, 530-413-4515. You can also listen to the program by cell phone. It's pretty easy. Just dial 712-432-0075. And in the access code 318116 pound. And if you can't remember all that, it's easy enough. Just go to xsquaredradio.com. And you could pull it up. It's right there on the front page. Or you can go to bdsradio.com and then you could dial it up and listen. We want you to contribute tonight because tonight we're talking about the upcoming election from a little different point of view, trying to maintain our sovereignty and control the government the way it was originally meant to be. You're listening to Yolanga. It's Lisa Gerard, if you've never heard her, pretty interesting stuff. She does a great job, and we use her music from time to time here on X Squared Radio. If we are truly a republic, and trust me, we are not a democracy, why have we not figured out how to send a representative to Washington to tell our story and then hold that person truly accountable for what they do in Washington on our behalf? For some reason, we've not been able to do it for about 300 years. It's about time. You know, we are subject to all the catchy phrases like party, like it's 1773. Yeah. That's when they dumped the tea in the harbor, if you're not up on American history. By the way, that was over a grievous tax on tea. 4%. Pay more than that in state tax. Add the federal tax, local and county and city tax to it, and you really get some serious revenue going toward the government. Before we get too deep into this hour, I definitely want to let you know, Remembering the Future, the Physics of the Soul and Time Travel, rose to number 4 in all books on spiritual and motivational on Amazon last week, and to number 9 for self-help. Number 9, that's pretty good out of all the books that are on Amazon. I think the highest that we got on all books that are on the internet on Amazon, I don't know how many there are, probably more than 10 million. We made it in the top 100, so this is really good. That's something for a self-published book. I think it's a better accomplishment than making the New York Times bestseller list. And that's because of you, because you like the book, it has spread. We want you to tell your friends about it. If you haven't had a chance to read it, there are lots of ways of getting it. You can get it on Kindle. You can get it on Nook pretty inexpensively if you like reading electronic books. If you want a paper version, of course you can get it at all the online bookstores, or you can buy it at rememberingthefuturebook.com, rememberingthefuturebook.com. Why do we encourage that? Because if you get it from there, you'll get it autographed, and you'll get the full book in audio for free as a download. So if you're not a great reader, don't worry about it. I read it for you. It's right there at rememberingthefuturebook.com. Teach you how to access the law of attraction and open the bounty of the universe for yourself. And maybe, because you are rather important to us, maybe even change the mean consciousness of the planet and move us in a different direction. Could participate in that quite easily and make yourself quite happy with what you are and what you do. Along with that book, there is a method of learning for a style of meditation called Flower of Life Meditation, originated by Drunvalo Melchizedek. You can always learn it from the Flower of Life people, or you can learn it from my teacher, which is Maureen St. Germain. And facilitating that is a CD, an audio CD that goes with the book. Yes, it's an extra purchase, but you can buy it at that website, or you can buy it at xsquaredradio.com. And that is the Merkaba 2 CD. Now, this CD will walk you through the meditation. It's easy to listen to. Just put it in your iPod or your MP3 device. do your meditation while listening to it. It helps you go through it, tells you what to do with your hands and how to breathe. In about 6 weeks, you'll become an expert, and you won't need the recordings all the time. You can do it any time. It's the Meditation for Busy People, 17 breaths, and you're in. And then we teach you the 18th breath in the book. Very, very important to learn how to listen to and then manipulate the universe for good or for ill, but we hope that you do it for good. So the big question tonight is, we talk about the main subject of the week, because in 2 days the national elections take place. Why do we even care about which party is in the majority in Washington? We should, because it is the party leadership that gets to staff the committees that carve up the public pie for the fat cats who are sitting at the supper table. Now, in our last hour, we talked about this Rasmussen poll that came out where they gathered from 1,000 likely voters that 65%, if they had the ability to do so, would replace every member of Congress. However, real people that I've talked to, even here on the radio program, would say, yes, I would replace them all except for my guy, except for this guy or that guy or this woman or that woman. And yes, I understand that. I do. But you got to understand the nature of the problem. The nature of the problem is not the representative that we send to Washington. It's the representative we get back from Washington. Once they get to Washington, they walk into a sea of lobbyists, special interest groups that pay people, experts, salesmen, engineers, doctors, lawyers, bankers, professionals, billions and billions of dollars a year. General Motors has 1,800 of them on salary in Washington. Their job? Bring the bacon home, baby, and make sure that no regulations are put in place that negatively affect our industry. How do you do that? Well, we will feed you all the information that you need. Brochures, programs, spreadsheets, graphs, photographs, and of course, money. And by the time your representative, which you have sent to Washington in good faith, walks through that gauntlet, they're a new man. They're a new woman. They've got catchphrases. They've got sound bites that are guaranteed to get them elected and reelected over and over again. And by the way, should you need any money with that campaign? By the way, I know you just got elected there, buddy, but you got a running at it 2 years. And you can't start thinking about it 18 months from now. You got to start thinking about it and planning for it today. We'll help you with those fundraisers. Make sure that you have plenty of money, you know, to fight those people that are coming in behind you wanting your job. And then it becomes a race of a different color. Then it becomes a race of a different dollar, a different ideology, a different spirit, and a different cause. Now, how do we overcome that? Well, if you keep the old guard at all, you're going to lose. You're going to lose them to that bureaucracy, that sea of lobbyists that sits up there, that provides the condos, the cars, the meals. By the way, meals are a little harder to buy up there. Go to Washington. They're very careful on the upfront gratuities, but there are all kinds of ways to get around that. There are charities that you can give to. Oh, my goodness. Believe me, there is sneakiness beyond sneakiness. So, we do care about which party is in power, but what we really think about are the people that are in the party, because either one of the parties could be good. You know, Reagan used to be a Democrat until the party left him, and then he changed parties. Did Reagan change? No, he really didn't change. He was a great Democrat, and he was a great Republican. So perhaps we should be leaning on the committees to process the law and the formation of law to serve the public good. Ha-ha, now there's a concept for you. There's a concept for you, the public good. Who is the public? The majority? Is that what you say, the majority? Au contraire, not the majority. The minority then? No, no, wrong again. There is a moral center to the public good. Not even one member of a society can be unfairly treated by the public good. Okay? Also, being nice is not necessarily being kind. Let me explain that. Enabling a chronic drunk driver by being nice to him is not being kind. Because very soon he will kill someone coming home from church and never mean to do it. Why did he do it? Because you were nice to him. You weren't kind to him. If you were kind to him, you would have not enabled his drunkenness. You would have helped him find a way to not drink anymore because he can't handle it. The public good has not been served. Jailing someone because they were in possession of a drug for the purpose of getting high while watching a rock concert or throwing frisbee in the park is not serving the public good. Preventing a man from visiting his children because he cannot get along with his former wife is not serving the public good. Do you want me to go on here? I mean, I could do this all night. The public good is a moral center. If it was the majority, we would still have segregation. And you know where that was leading us. Forget about it. We already fought a war over that. There is a moral center to things that allows everyone to reach the fullness of their potential as long as it doesn't encroach upon the fullness of the potential of anyone else. It allows the best for the common good. Now, providing grants to billion-dollar corporations and a state where thousands of small businesses can't get an inventory loan to start building their goods and selling them to a waiting consumer does not serve the public good. Although that corporation may have a budget that provides for donations to the political party. In other words, the corporation is buying the grant, and the politician is buying the votes. All done with your money. That does not serve the public good. So how do we fix that? How do we make that work? How do we listen on the one hand to a president who says, I have given so many billions of dollars to the building of small businesses because they are the backbone of our country. And you know every single word that just came out of his mouth is a lie. And when you look at the dollars, you see it's about $2 to $20 million for every job that was created. Get serious, people. You could go down on Main Street, any Main Street, and hand out $100,000 to the first come, first serve until the money was gone and do better than that. I promise you could. The $1.4 billion that was sent to North Carolina, if you would have just stood on the town square, any town square, it doesn't matter, any town square, and handed out $100,000 checks, no questions asked, you would have created and maintained more jobs than we did the other way. Now that's sad. When I can make a statement like that and you know it is true, that doesn't serve the public good. So how do we fix it? Do we stop giving out the grants? Or do we lean on those committees and force them by the public will to make them serve the public good? I think the latter, my friends. I think the latter. So we have another mind teaser. Not a mind teaser. It's a mind stimulator. Stimulate your faculties here. Dale did a really good job on the quarters in the balance problem. I think that he did just excellent. I was very impressed. I've given out that question a lot of times, and I've never had the first person call in get it. Here's the phone numbers again. Off planet, 530-413-4511. East of Earth, 530-413-4515. West of Earth, 530-413-4520. Now, if you're listening by cell phone, all you can do is listen, unless you can get your computer and Skype me. You can Skype me a message if you like, but here is the problem. Verbal only, I'm not going to write it down, and I'm not going to repeat it. It's a simple problem. Here we go. Three guys have gone to dinner at a restaurant. They've all three eaten a good meal. In sitting there, relaxing in the soft seats of the restaurant, they fall asleep. While they're asleep, the maitre d' brings dessert, which is a tray full of dates. Yeah, dates. Now, the first man wakes up by himself, sees the tray of dates there, and eats his share, and falls back to sleep. The second man awakens and sees the dates laying there, and eats his share, and falls asleep. The third man wakes up, sees the dates sitting there on the tray, eats his share, and the other two wake up, and they're all awake now, and there are eight dates left. How many dates were originally on the platter? That's it. That's the problem. Pretty simple. Don't need algebra. Just need a logical mind. That's our mind teaser. You have the phone lines. Call in. Give us the answer. And your mind, your faculties will be aroused. Because we have a little bit of a quandary here. You know, we have 2 days to this election. And we have every pontificator out there on the daytime radio and nighttime TV boosting their ratings as high as possible, giving us answers one way or the other, and guess what? I think they are all wrong. So we got to figure it out here. You know, it appears that voting is not enough. We cannot get involved in our government once every 2 years. It's not going to work that way. We must be involved on a regular basis. Or we must assign local people to watch them for us. So how many of you have ever attended a local city council meeting? Let me see a show of hands, all the people that are listening to X Squared Radio. How many of you have ever attended a local city council meeting? Oh, come on. Okay, you should go sometime. If you go once, you will be shocked to know how much money is handled. Did you know that 70% of the money raised in your local government, in most public organization, goes to schools? You know what they spend the money on? You should go and find out. Most school districts have a one-to-one ratio of teachers to administrators. Huh, yeah, I'm not kidding. And the administrator makes usually twice what the teacher makes. And they don't teach students. Sometimes they've never even been a teacher. I mean, that's a little like having a rooster for every hen in the house. You're going to hear a lot of clucking, but you won't get many eggs. Yeah. So, how do you get involved? How much time do you take out of your busy day, you know, texting and watching TV and, you know, gosh, man, I work 8 hours a day, 8 hours, give me a break. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Nobody ever got successful in the United States of America by working 8 hours a day. Now, you work 8 hours a day on the job that pays the minimum number of bills. And then you work 8 hours a day on your dream. I don't care if you're writing a book or you're making costume jewelry or you're doing in-home demonstrations of hair care products. The other 8 hours a day is used for that. If you're not doing 16 hours a day toward gainful employment, you're not working. 8 hours a day is a joke. 8 hours a day is loafing. And you know a bad thing about loafing is you can't take a break. So let's get serious. Now, maybe it serves the public good to have more people getting food stamps that are getting paychecks. What? Oh, you didn't know that? No, I'm serious. It's true. I heard it the other day on the radio. No, it's got to be true. More people are receiving food stamps than are receiving paychecks. The U.S. Food Stamp Office now feeds more people than McDonald's. Yeah, and 50%, get this, 50% of all food stamp money is used fraudulently. 50%, it's true. Food is traded for drugs and alcohol and other things more now than when they had the funny little colored bills in the tear-out coupon book like Disneyland coupons. Remember they used to have the food stamp dollars? You could go in the store and buy your food with the 20s and whatever, and then the closest increment of cash, and then they would give you the change in food stamps, or if they didn't have food stamps, they could give you cash. Oh, man, come on. We used to go down to Second Street all the time and sell those off, you know, 3 for 1. $90 worth of food stamps for $30 in cash. Then you could use the cash for whatever you wanted to use it for. But now they don't have those little funny dollars. They have charge cards. And they just fill it up each month electronically, and then you just go down and swipe the card and buy your food. But once you have the food in your hands, there's your currency. And then you go down to Second Street and trade the food for whatever it is you need. Yeah, well, it's true. Oh, my goodness. There is a genius in this country. Dale is back on with the answer to our brain quiz. Welcome back, Dale.
27.
That's correct. That's correct. And you don't have to use algebra to do it. You just have to think backwards.
And have the relationship of numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Only gave you one number, and that was 8. Now, you had to make an assumption there, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
And what was the assumption?
The last guy only ate a third of the dates.
All the guys only ate a third of the dates.
Right.
Very good. Very good. You're a genius, Dale. What can I say?
Thank you, sir. And I agree with everything you're saying. I want to say that to everybody on the radio.
Oh, that's great. So, you know, I think the thing about politics, there are really two concepts that you have to keep straight. One is the public good, which is quite a bit different than the majority, the minority, or any of that. It's a moral center. Sometimes it only benefits one person in a group while inconveniencing everybody else. But it's a moral center. It's sort of like taking care of people that can't hear or can't see. They're certainly a minority of the society, but you got to have all your doorways 36 inches wide so that if someone does show up to your place of business in a wheelchair, they can get through. And it serves
the
purpose.
I deal with that all the time. I build them.
Well, there you go. That's it. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. So
too many regulations conflicting with too many people's chances to make a difference. And that's what it means more than anything. It's a difference to everyone.
You know, recently here in Charlotte, we had an entrepreneurs conference, and it was held at the biggest place in town. Now, here's the interesting thing. They didn't have any great speakers coming in. I mean, it wasn't the Zig Ziglar graduates. It wasn't Peter Lowe or any of the great names. It was just an entrepreneurs conference, kind of like a job fair, but it wasn't for franchises or anything. It was just to teach people how to manage money, how to market, how to deal with state taxes, how to run an ad, how to build a website, you know, those kinds of things. Guess what? It sold out. They had so many people that wanted to go to it, they ran out of chairs.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, but what would have been great, Dale, is if at the end of it, they would have said, everybody that's here on your way out, pick up your $100,000 check. and go start your business. How many jobs would that have created in Charlotte?
Do you know, many. I would have loved to have created more jobs in this area. I mean, I don't know how much different areas are suffering. But I know this one is hard hit by this economic collapse.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are 50,000 people out of work in Charlotte. And Charlotte's not a big city, you know. It's not like New York. It's only 8 million people live in this state. 50,000 people out of work in one city. And the Entrepreneurs Conference sold out. There were more that wanted to get in and couldn't because there weren't enough chairs. But what if at the end of that they would have said, no matter what you're doing, I don't care if you're starting a dog walking business, pick up your $100,000 check on the way out. Now, a lot of those people would have gone out and gone right to the car lot and bought a brand new car, and that would have been the end of that.
Not me.
But some of those, yeah, not you and not a lot of those people. They would have gone out and they would have guarded that $100,000 with their life, and they would have started their business with it, and they probably would have hired a couple people. And even if they did buy a car, guess where the money went? It went to the car lot. And it stimulated the economy by the mechanics and the salespeople and the accountants and everything working there. And they took the money and went out and did something with it. So it's a local stimulus that occurs on an immediate basis. And you're not just sending $100,000 out to people that are going to, you know, go down to the local pub and drink it up. These are people that paid money out of their pocket and came to a conference and spent 3 days to learn how to go into business for themselves. Every single one of them left that place poorer than they went in, and none of them had access to capital. Now, that doesn't serve the public good, Dale.
No, it doesn't serve the public good at all. I totally agree with you, Brooks. The money is going to the wrong places.
Well, that's what I feel, too. And I'm not just sour grapes over it because I've applied and didn't get any. I'm just saying that's the situation we're in right now.
Need an electric car. I'll say that again. We need an electric car.
Oh, you're gonna love this. You're really gonna love this, Dale, because I got this from Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood. Okay, and a lot of people haven't met him, but I've met him. Now, Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood just unveiled a $1 trillion national railroad plan and a national network of toll roads that will turn some cities into ghost towns, unfortunately, by separating essential travel away from their local access. But it allows the federal highway system to be locked away from the public at a moment's notice. Now, here's how he's going to fund it. And this goes right along with what you just said, Gail. He proposes adding $3 a gallon tax to a gallon of gasoline. $3 a gallon. That means that if you're paying $3.01 now for a gallon of premium, let's do the math. $6.01 a gallon for gasoline, and then using that money to better utilize and refurbish the more than 233,000 miles of rail that lies unused across America to transport people and goods. He advocates parking your car and using the trains to get where you want to go. Are you ready for that change? Are you ready now to switch to electric cars?
I can't do it. I cannot do it. That my livelihood would shut down. I already have to drive 100 miles a day to go to work. So I couldn't do it.
There's probably a rail that will do that 100 miles for you. Now, when you get to the other side, I don't know what you got to do. Take a bus, a cab, or whatever. It adds a lot of time to your commute.
Well, I have a whole form system that's got to go. I mean, I'm a concrete guy. I have a lot of tools and guys who have to go and be there and change jobs, and it's not logical. I need an electric car. I need an electric truck.
That's right.
I need something that'll haul something big. I need something with a backup diesel engine that if the electric motors are going low, I can kick on that diesel engine and fire my way over the hill.
Awesome. That's exactly right. Diesel electrics, boy, I wish they would build them. I was sitting
and
down
with a gyro.
Yeah,
and keep that momentum going, because I had to drive over 10,000 foot passes.
That's right. I was sitting down with Lucy Baradinov. She was the alternative fuels guru for General Motors. I had lunch with her, and I asked her that question because GM had just completed its wholesale purchase of Isuzu, which was in the same building as Subaru in Fayetteville, Indiana. And the two are now separated. And Isuzu, as many of you know, builds the smallest, most efficient diesel motors in the world. Little tiny things.
Sir.
600 cc's, 1,000 cc's, 1,500 cc's, turbocharged. If he really wanted to make an electric car, a hybrid car, that got 80 or 90 miles to the gallon, a diesel electric is the way to go. So I said, Lucy, how come you guys aren't selling the small diesel motors in the U.S.? So we can make diesel electric cars. And she said the reason we're not doing it, the reason General Motors is not doing it, is we think there's not enough diesel fuel in America.
It's biodiesel then. Start growing hemp and make biodiesel out of it. 2 acres of hemp could power a large vehicle.
Well, that's exactly right. That's another story about biodiesel and why she was there and why I was talking to her. But the point is that the large corporations have made the decision, and so you're not getting it. It ain't going to happen.
I realize that, and I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, Brooks. I listen to you every week, and I pray for you every week for the money to come.
Well, it's working. I can't give you any details right now. We'll have more in a couple of months, but I'll let you know. It's I actually believe what I write. And when I wrote the book Remembering the Future, The Physics of the Soul and Time Travel, it was about intention. It was about setting your intention and making the universe vibrate with that intention so it would release the bounty of the universe. And I said to myself, how bounteous is the universe? I mean, is this too big? Is this too big? How about if I become the largest manufacturer of electric vehicles in the United States? That's a big intention. That's a big one, Dale.
Yes.
It's working. I
hope it comes true for all of us.
Well, I think it will. In fact, I know it will. I it's vibrating right now. It's resonating right now. And you know, the weight of a mustard seed applied at exactly the right moment over and over again will move a mountain.
It will. It will crack rock. So will a drop of water.
Very good. Very good. It's all about resonance theory and the golden mean and constructive interference and focus.
Well, I would love to talk to you sometime when I had hours, and I would love for you to hear some of my ideas someday. If you're ever in the Four Corners.
Sure. Love to sit down and listen to them. We call it heartstorming, not brainstorming. We put our hearts together, and we think about stuff, and we talk about stuff, and I like to do it over a campfire because it's really something to do. Used to do with the boys.
I have a beautiful view of Mesa Verde right out my back window.
Oh, that's awesome. And, you know, I had my assistant scoutmaster still lives in the area where I was scoutmaster for 6 years. And those boys are now young men, and they have families of their own. And one of them was speaking publicly, and so my friend Dean went and listened to him speak. And this is, this is a kid that's now 24 years old. He stands up and he's talking. And guess what he mentions in his speech? He mentions in his speech lessons he learned while he was a Boy Scout from his scoutmaster. Now, I've often said that a boy will listen to a scoutmaster before he will listen to his own mother. And a lot of those boys that I had in that 18-boy troop had no mom. I had no dad. So as a scoutmaster, you serve as the dad, too. And you got to give them life lessons and the ability to challenge themselves and have success overcoming that challenge. And those boys became Eagle Scouts, and it changed the universe, Dale. It did great things. Every single one of those young men are great men because they were great boys.
I had 8 years in California Cadet Corps. I was never able to be a Boy Scout, but it is a wonderful organization. I know it is.
Well, I believe it too. So I've done my plug for Boy Scouts of America. Well done on the mind puzzle, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. I love them.
Well, maybe we'll add them to the program on a regular basis. I used to get a lot of enjoyment out of it. You know, Mensa people, we take a lot of tests and we enjoy it. We don't get test anxiety in the way that you get test. Most people get test anxiety. We get test anxiety because we're anxious to get started with the test. We love to prove what we know and what we can figure out. We're a little bit of social retards, but other than that...
Well, I'm a social retard, too. All I know is math.
Yeah, well, I understand. I love math. It's a universal language. It works with any nationality.
Mm-hmm. I had a near-death experience when I was 17, and I was downloaded. And before that, I didn't have the capacity I have now. I still can't read, but... No math problem or logic problem doesn't make sense to me.
I believe that. You've now proved it twice where ordinary human beings are stymied. You have come through in a matter of seconds.
Well, thank you, sir, and you enjoy your evening.
You too, Dale. Have a good evening, and tell your neighbors to vote for the public good.
Oh, I will. Thank you. I only have three, but... There's a long ways to my next one. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
All right.
So there you have it, Earth Explorers. There are intelligence. What is it they say? The glory of God is intelligence. Exactly right. So we do not need a 30-year plan from Amtrak for high-speed rail in the Northeast. This is a quote from him. We do not need a 30-year plan from Amtrak for high-speed rail in the Northeast. We need something like the 4-year plans China has. I continue, in 30 years, it will already be too late. My question is, too late for what? Interesting, Mr. LaHood. We do not need a 30-year plan from Amtrak for high-speed rail in the Northeast. We need something like the 4-year plans China has. Yes, I've seen those China plans myself, face-to-face, in Tibet. I spent 2 weeks on the Upper Tibetan Plateau on roads built, not by the Chinese, by Chinese equipment, by Chinese road graders and Chinese front loaders and Tibetan sledgehammers. Tibetans living in tents in the mountains, in the cold, wearing loafers and slacks sent to them in bundles from American Goodwill. Yeah, I've seen those 4-year China plans, Mr. LaHood, face to face. Got the pictures to prove it. If Americans cannot find a job and they cannot access capital to make a job, then sooner or later a subculture of commerce is going to arise. When enough Americans want to buy something, someone will figure out a way to sell it to them. And if they can't do it legally, then they will do it illegally. And sooner or later, the government will find itself in a position Thomas Jefferson said would lead to revolution. He said, you cannot arrest a society. When society finds itself outside the law, then one of two things must happen. Society must change, as in the case of racial discrimination, or the law must change. One of two things must happen. Either society has to say, look, it serves the moral center of the public good for us to change according to this law, or this law does not serve the public good. Who makes the laws? That's right. Congress makes the laws, unless, of course, it's an executive order. Most of the time, executive orders don't cover laws that deal with the public. They deal with higher order things, organizations, agencies, departments, things like that. It has to do with prohibiting things or preventing things from happening, but rarely enabling things. As you know, any time a president gets close to the end of his term in office, and I would say this happens most of the time at the end of the second term, and very rarely at the end of the first term, because most presidents don't think that the first term is their last term, unless they've decided not to run for a second term. And I think the last time that happened was with Johnson, and he became a lame duck president immediately. Executive orders pour in, as do pardons, the very last part of the presidency. I mean, in the hundreds, these executive orders pour in. But most of the time, the laws are made by Congress. And who sends Congress to Washington? Well, I was going to say you do, but that's not always the case. Let's see if we can get a little more insight. Alex from Missouri, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bruce. Alex, of course, you know.
Yes, my good friend Alex normally sends chats to me all night while we're on the radio and sometimes changes the course of the universe with those chats. And now he's on the phone with us.
Yep. One of the things that I am a strong advocate of is not the president's responsibility to steal from us and then reallocate our financial resources. So...
No, the president has to lobby for his legislation. He can't legislate from the executive branch. But, as you know, he could say, well, I want a health care plan for all Americans. And guess what? Everybody's going to bust their butt to try to make that health plan happen.
He can't. Actually, he can't do that. It's not in his... I've read the Constitution says that he's only got six powers, and that's not one of them.
No, but he can assign Congress to say, bring me a bill on health care that I can sign. And, you know, they'll deliver a 1,000-page bill, and he'll sign it. And then we'll read it later.
Right. But, well, this is what Congress only has about 12 powers. 20. Okay. They have 20 powers, and they can't go outside of theirs either.
Well, I'm not going to ask you to list all 12, but I will say that, you know, there's inside of Congress and the Senate, more in the Congress than in the Senate, because in the Senate they serve for 6 years. They also are, you know, they do have Senate bills that they originate, but then they have to go to Congress and also go through that process. It has to go through both houses. But congressmen have to run for election every 2 years. And consequently, mm-hmm. many of them are replaced every 2 years. It's not until you serve in Congress right. for 4, 5, 6 terms that you really build any kind of clout and get on the right committees. So there are really two Congresses that we deal with. One is the committee leadership, which is governed by the majority party owner. And the other are all the freshman congressmen that are sent in out of frustration by the members of the Republic that send representatives to Washington. Those guys are generally powerless. to do anything except vote yes or no. They don't write bills.
They don't usually study before they get elected either. I noticed that.
Well, you know, when you get there, you got to find out where the post office is and where the bathroom is, and there's all kinds of orientation for 6 or 8 weeks. And then, you know, it takes a little while to get your confidence. And, of course, there are lots of people there to advise you because they're paid to do that full time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those are lobbyists, and they feed you all kinds of statistics and slideshows and graphs and studies in order to make you a better congressman, of course.
Yep. And if you just studied the basics, you'd probably be a better congressman than if you listened to the lobbyists.
And that's what I was basically talking about tonight. Not specific legislation, not specific bills, but the public good. And when I speak about the public good, I'm talking about this moral center.
Which states that you cannot dole money that you've stolen from your constituents.
Well, of course, we would like to see tax cuts across the board, leave more of the money in the hands of the public. But let's just pretend for a moment that that's never going to happen. What if we took all the money that was going to Washington? And as I said, you know, we had an entrepreneurs conference in Charlotte just a couple of months ago. What would have happened? Totally unannounced, of course, not advertised ahead of time. These guys come, spend their own $200 to go to this conference. They're going to try to learn some skills. At the end of that, they just handed out $100,000 checks to everybody and said, go start your businesses.
Still, it's... What we need to do is we need to get a bunch of guys that are just mavericks in there that will strike taxes across the board. That's what we need to do. But unfortunately, I don't think we've got that moral center in our nation. We need to start building it. That's the answer, is build a moral center so we can get some moral representatives in there that will slash taxes across the board and give us our, and not give us our money back, but let us spend our own money.
Well, I think if you're going to slash taxes, you got to slash what the taxes are spent on. Like, for instance, abolishing the Department of Education, abolishing the Department of Energy, abolishing the, or at least really cutting back on the Food and Drug Administration, abolishing the EPA or cutting them way back, making it state responsibilities with federal guidelines. Gosh, how about abolishing the IRS and doing away with income tax and going to a national sales tax? That would put 275,000 people on the road.
Well, do you know that the IRS people think that Social Security is their retirement fund and not the average American's retirement fund or savings account? Yeah, I'd say we need to get rid of them really bad.
If we got rid of income tax, like most states have already proven, Florida, Texas, Tennessee, Montana, there's a lot of states that don't have income taxes. And you know what? They have balanced budgets. They have great roads. They have great schools. Look at the states that do have income taxes, like Kentucky, and compare it with Tennessee right next door that doesn't have income taxes. And look at the quality of the schools and the quality of the roads in the two states. They're both basically the same populations. Huge difference. Huge difference in the qualities.
And that's exactly why the founding fathers set up the United States the way it has been set up, is so that the states can compete constitutionally to become as far as the amount of free enterprise they're willing to allow. And those that allow more freedom will get more population, and those that have less freedom will have to adjust their system so that it increases freedom too, in order to attract more population to them.
Well, that sounds simple, but I can tell you, when you go to Washington, you realize that there are really two governments. There's the elected one that you see on TV, and then there's the bureaucracies. And then you really quick realize which one's really in power.
Yep. Right now, the leading employer happens to be the federal government itself. I think they need to do a few layoffs, don't you?
Yeah, well, I think they just forgot who the boss is.
Yep.
But as I said, the boss has been out there only working 8 hours a day. Of course, less of us are working now than have been working in the past. And 8 hours a day is loafing. So I think that we need to get more involved in the function of our country on a local level, a state level, and even federal level.
You're right. We do need to become more involved. And we need to become better informed as well, so that we're involved in the proper way. That moral center, as I was saying.
Well, I can tell you this, that if the average American went to Washington for a couple of days and watched how it works, they would get more involved. And I'll tell you also, that's exactly what Washington doesn't want. Washington doesn't want you to come there, look at them any more than teachers want parents to come see what they do in the classroom.
Exactly. And that's the that's the best protest that Americans do. Peacefully go up there, supervise our leaders once a month, if not several times a year, and make sure that they're doing what they say what they're supposed to be doing according to the Constitution.
Well, see, now here's the difference between substance and appearance. We have a million man this or a million person that, and they go to Washington and they show up and they wonder if they're going to count the numbers right, and they're mad if they don't, and really impressed if they do, and they fill up the hotels and they make themselves feel good and then they go home. If you really want to impress me, send a million people to Washington and don't go home for a month.
That's what I'm saying. I used to spend, actually, this is when I was around six. My mom used to be a real political, she used to attend Senate and Congress sessions, and she'd have me and my sister in tow. And we'd be there watching the boys argue over whatever. And, well, we were there all the time, practically. And it wasn't constitutionally sound. Now, when we were able to make our opinion felt, we took that opportunity. Wrote letters, faxed in the public sessions, made our opinions felt, made sure that we were there at least once a month. And we were there with the Eagles Forum and so forth. And you don't necessarily have to be involved with an organization to go. But you have an easier time getting in if you're with an organization like the Eagles Forum.
Sure, I can see that. I know we were invited to go, so we went up. But I can see where the average person just going up there, saying, "Yeah, I want to attend Congress today." That would be a little difficult to do, depending on what was being voted on that day. The nice thing is that C-SPAN covers everything. I mean, the camera's on all the time. You can see what's going on in Congress and Senate, unless they're running some kind of you know, history lesson on it, but usually you can see what's going on, and that's good. That means that we're watching. But I can remember watching C-SPAN at 2 o'clock in the morning because I worked second shift, so I would get home at 11 o'clock at night and often couldn't sleep, so I would stay up and watch various things, the National Press Club or whatever was on C-SPAN. And I was amazed at, you know, congressmen like Congressman Dornan and others who'd be entering things into the record, standing there reading or standing there making a speech, and nobody's there. I mean, no one's in Congress, but he is entering stuff into the record. These guys really feel a purpose, and they do stuff. So I want to find out what you think. The elections are in 2 days, and many people think the fate of the free world hangs in the balance, and it may. It may not be the vote on the right or the left that counts. It might be the vote for apathy that is the most important. With only 20% of the adult population of the nation voting and 90% of that same body of beings complaining about it, the ones that actually don't vote, there seems to be some disparity in who really cares enough to do something about it. So what are your thoughts on that? That 20%
of my thoughts are, if you're going to vote for anyone, look at their record, see if every single vote that they've cast happens to coincide with their allotted powers in the Constitution, and make sure you know your Constitution before you go in there, and make sure that they're operating within those limits. Otherwise, we're basically encouraging an autocracy.
Well, I mean, we do anyway, Alex, because what happens, people go in there and you know, Herodotus once said that the death of any nation is when the public can vote for themselves a piece of the public coffer. Whether you're a tobacco farmer, or whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a banker, you're going to go in and vote to protect your agency, even at the expense of others. In essence, or a retired person voting to protect Social Security, if that's what mailer you received with your check, you're voting to get your piece of the public coffer and not necessarily for what is the public good. So how do you deal with that when only 20% of the people, and those are the ones that are voting, are actually moving the free world around with their lust over what's in the public coffer?
Well, that's tonight is a first step. Those who can come forward and say what people need to be voting for, in other words, people that will maintain their constitutional responsibility and not go over the bounds, those are the people we need to be voting for a representative and Senate.
Well, what about those that are manipulated by the slick marketing? You know, like they need to go to Voters Anonymous. Hi, my name is Alex, and I voted a straight ticket. Hi, Alex. What do you do with people like that? Yes, I'm going in. I'm going to vote all Republican because I want to be a Tea Party advocate, and I want to just throw all the Democrats out. Well, why?
I'm sorry, that's not going to work, because, you see, the Republican Party is pretty much a copy of the Democrat Party. I mean, their platform has totally, I mean, their platforms match entirely, and they're just trying to appease the voters to get back in is basically what they're doing. They need to know that the voters want them to do their constitutional responsibility. And we as voters need to show that we want them to do that constitutional responsibility and not go out of the bounds of that constitutional responsibility.
You know, when I hear members of Congress, and I've heard a lot of them, say that, you know, I'm here to support the president, I as the boss, I want to say, you're fired. Because you're not there to represent the president. You're there to represent me. We sent you to Washington to represent us in our neighborhood. And you're not there to support the president.
Their responsibility is to protect us from themselves, is basically what their responsibility is. And to keep taking advantage of each other as well. I mean, because that's a direct affront to the Ten Commandments and every law that's been set down by God. And that's the core of our government, is those laws that were set down by God. Those are the laws.
Yeah, well, you know, it's when you go to Washington and you learn the ropes a little bit, it's sort of like law, if you've ever been in federal court. The interesting thing about federal court is, yes, you have the law and you have facts of the case, but you also have the rules of the court. That's the big blue book that you normally get, that you learn about the rules of the federal court. Now, most of it deals with stuff like discovery and badgery and all kind of stuff like that. But if you know that book, you know the rules of the court, you can do a lot in the courtroom.
You know, what's really funny about that is the rules of the court wouldn't apply if the judges stuck within their constitutional jurisdiction, because they've only got, 14 responsibilities? And they go out of that all the time.
Sure they do. They legislate from the bench. And sometimes they do it because of the nature of the case. The cases are groomed to go in and establish precedent. Once precedent is established, then you can go in and quote other cases that have been adjudicated, and you can use those as precedents to make your decision. I've done the same thing. Go into court and say, you know, according to this decision, and these were adjudicated similar to this case. Now we're talking about a case that's very, very similar. And these certain parameters weren't met by whoever it is you're opposing, and they lose the case because they didn't research the case law.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, that takes time, you know, research, but, you know, you can do it. You just got to go to the law library and research that stuff. But that's what happens in Congress all the time. It's the rules of Congress. A shifting of time and things like unanimous support and yielding time one to another in order to swing the vote. Filibustering, that's another one. Filling up the available time until time runs out and no decision can be made. Well, we might have lost Alex, and we might have lost me. I don't know which, because Skype is kind of funny. I think we lost Alex. That's no big deal. It's internet radio. It happens all the time. He can call back if he likes to. We have about 35 minutes left, and I want to get a couple more points in. If Alex wants to go ahead and call back and contribute, he can. We always like to hear from our callers, and I know the format of other radio stations. They get people on and they run them off, and that's fine. We have plenty of lines, so if you want to call in, you can call in, and we'll put you right on. We'll move the next caller away. They totally understand that when they call in, they're not going to be intimidated. They can speak on a level playing field. It's never going to happen here on X Squared Radio. So the ancients left us messages about what may be in store for our planet in 2 years. If the level of apathy in our nation right now, this election, is indicative of that in the world, then we may have a good idea how much of our world will survive the events to come. You know, we talk about getting prepared every single week here on X Squared Radio. We talk about you calling up our affiliates, which we don't make any money on this at all. Call up 1-800-PREPARE.com. Get just the basics, a 72-hour kit, just enough to keep you and your family and maybe your neighbors out of the hands of the emergency management people so that you're not herded like cattle because you don't have food and water to take care of yourself out on the road. You thought ahead. You got a couple book bags with a 72-hour kit in each one, and you can survive. In fact, you can survive well. You won't be affected by cholera. If you cut yourself, you've got antibiotics. If you get in the sun, you've got sunscreen. You've got the basics to take care of yourself. You're organized. You thought ahead. You weren't apathetic. If they take those kinds of precautions, everything's going to be fine. And, you know, if you want to talk about this, then we can. But I really want to see if we can discuss what is being done with the public coffers. Even in depression, we are a very productive people. We still manage to make bounty for ourselves. I don't care if you're mowing grass, painting houses, working on cars in your garage, doing programming, drawing prints, helping people build websites. Remember, you are self-employed. I don't care if you've been working at the same place for 5 years and you think, they'll never fire me. I'm one of the main guys there. They can't get along without me. Buddy, you're gone by Friday afternoon, and you're going to be looking into those empty shoes in the morning going, wow, how could they have done that to me? They did it because you forgot. You're self-employed. Although the economy has not seen this many foreclosures on home mortgages ever in its 300-year history, we manage to get by. How are we doing it? Because we are idea people. We don't copy. We innovate. So that's the way it is. We innovate. We think. We work around it. We overcome. We're like Marines. We take the hill. We don't give up. Now, some of us might end up on the street for a while. And if you haven't been on the street for a while, you should try it. If you think you're at the bottom, forget about it. There's a bottom below that one, I guarantee you. Don't despair. It's only stuff. I promise you, if Bank of America comes in and they take your house and they sell it to somebody else for less money than you bought it for because you paid the mortgage down for those other people, let it go. Let it go. Don't think that you have lost your masculinity, that you have lost your sovereignty as a being because they have taken anything from you. You just went down a path thinking that that was what you had designed for yourself, but it wasn't. It was designed by somebody else. Or you went down that path and you didn't follow through. You only worked on it 3 or 4 iterations and it lost momentum and it got taken from you. It happens. It's not the end of the world. I promise you, no matter how bad it gets at the bank, they will not come and kill you. They won't. They may take your home. You may have to file bankruptcy. You might be homeless for a while. So what? So what? Live in a friend's basement for a summer. Come up with an idea. Get some resumes out there. Walk the streets if you have to. Wear some holes in your shoes. And forget about that 8-hour-a-day stuff. Okay? That doesn't exist anymore. Not even farmers work 8 hours a day. Go ask one. If you're going to be successful, you need to put your dream out there, focus on it, and then work. Because it's not going to come like a lottery ticket. It's going to come through your work and through you being what you want to be. Now, the funny thing is, here we are with all these foreclosures, more than we've ever had in our 300-year history. Just what Bank of America is foreclosing on is more than we've ever seen. And we got Wells Fargo doing the same thing. And you got Fifth Third Bank doing the same thing. And you got Chase doing the same thing. It's unbelievable how many houses are being foreclosed upon. It's unbelievable. All those first mortgages are going back in the system to be recycled, and they're going to end up in someone else's hands. That's right. Somebody else is going to be celebrating Christmas in your house. So what? Let it go. It's only solids. It has nothing to do with why you're here on this earth, I promise you. We still go to the movies. We're still going to restaurants. Not to the malls yet, but ever so slowly, we are getting used to the burden of gas prices and the lack of work. How are we doing that? How can we possibly be doing that? Because we overcome. We improvise. We Americans are idea people. And if we migrated here from another country, legally or illegally, go ask one sometime. What do you do, Mr. Martinez, with your day? Go ahead, ask one. Ask one. I'll tell you what he'll tell you. I drive a forklift during the day, and when I get off that, I go wash dishes at night. And I send half my money back home to Mexico, and I still have enough to buy a new TV at the end of the week. That's what they'll tell you. That's really the American dream. Those people are working for what they want, for what they dream about, and they don't let anything get in their way, even if they have to work three jobs a day and run from the law at the same time. You're an American, you are the envy of the world. Every Indian, billions of them. Every Chinese person, billions of them. Every Russian, every German, and every Canadian envies what you have. What do you have? You have endless opportunity laying at your feet. Endless bounty at your command. You can become anything and accomplish anything you want. I'm proving it to you. If you don't believe me, read the book. And if you're too poor to afford the book, and believe me, I've had people that way, write me, I'll send you the audiobook for free. Listen to it. Get your feet dug in and get ready to push. Because you're going to reach your dream. You might first have to hit the bottom. You might first have to know what it feels like to sleep on a hard floor instead of a bed. But you can make it. You can do it. And if you have the right to vote, do it on Tuesday and think about the public good, the moral center. Do me a favor. Don't vote a straight ticket either way. Look at the man or the woman in that office. And I would give a very good, hard look at the person that's never been in office before. Look at them. See what they had to do. Their lives, changing their lives in order to become a public servant. Now, I know you don't think making $160,000 a year is being a public servant, but you never lived in Washington, D.C. If you try to have a home in your home state, whether it's Alabama or Nebraska, and a home in Washington, $160,000 a year will barely meet it. Nobody's in Congress getting rich. Now, maybe the senators are, but the congressmen aren't getting rich, not off that amount of money. They are getting powerful, though. And if we really want to send a message, change them up. That's all I'm saying. Take a good look at it and change them up. It can happen. You'd be fired in 5 minutes if the company thought that they could make a change in the direction of where they're going. You'd get caught up in it. Just as sure as a combine cleans the wheat off the land. The wheat and the tares get cut down together, friends. So it's going to happen to you if it hasn't already happened to you. And now you're listening to X Squared Radio. And by the way, if you're listening tonight live or you're listening to the archive tomorrow morning from your computer, while you're working on your favorite project there, drawing some blueprints or processing accounting numbers, and you're listening to this on the side, share it with a friend. Maybe even share it with a friend who's not working. Just share the archive with them. I don't care if they pay or not. Just give them your password and let them listen to this archive. Because this is where it's at, people. This is how you turn it around. Right here in the grass. We have grass stains on our knees, and we have dirt under our fingernails, and we're proud of it. You guys can dream harder and further than any people on earth. You lead the way in dreaming. And as a people, I'm afraid we have abdicated our right to this to a few talking heads in Washington. And they're talking, and they're sure sounding like they got it all under control. They're out there beating their chest and banging a wooden spoon against the pan, thinking they've won this election. I'll tell you who the winners are. The winners are you. Either way, if the Congress changes hands, wonderful. If it doesn't change hands, wonderful, because you guys are in charge. Remember, you're self-employed, and when it comes to government, you're the boss. So if you're tired of the job they're doing, fire them. Fire them. Let them go. Let them feel what it feels like when you lost your home. They came and took your home because they wouldn't listen to you. Hey, I'm on hard times. Yes, I'm 5 months behind on my house payment, but I paid on time for 6 years or 10 years. And let me tell you, if you got a lot of equity in your house, you're the first one in line, buddy. Alphabetical order. They're going to be right there taking your house. Why? Because you got money in your house and the bank wants it. You hear the energy on my voice? No, I've never had a house foreclosed on and never missed a house payment in my life. The energy's on my voice because I watch the banks do it. I watch the banks do it, and then 2 years later, they open 150 new $2 million branches. I watch the banks do it, and they post record profits. I watch the banks do it, and you guys, the taxpayer, write the banks $40 billion worth of bailout money to keep them from going out of business. Why? Because they made poor credit decisions. They stayed within the regulations the government had written, but they didn't meet the credit needs of their community. And I think they deserve to go out of business. I don't care how big they are. They deserve to go broke. We'd recover. Yes, you'd still own your house. Somebody would end up with the mortgage eventually. You might not be making payments for a couple years because the bank went broke. Gee, that would be rough, wouldn't it? So what if the bank goes broke? It's them or you. You know, when companies don't manage themselves correctly, they pay the ultimate price. They die. And companies are not companies. Companies are buildings with people in them. It's actually people that are the companies. And if the people aren't managing their money right, thinking, well, we've got this safety net, you know, it's no problem. The government will never let us go broke. Why? They'll just write us a big fat check and make sure that we stay in business. And then, buddy, it's bonus time. Yeah, I'm telling you. Those bonuses get paid out, and they're not small. Some of these bankers way up in the high banks, like, I can't remember the name of the stock company right now. It escapes me. It's been in the news like I don't know how many times with Deepwater Horizon and on and on. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about. Not $50 million bonuses, $500 million bonuses. Oh, yeah. Yeah, to a single person. It's unbelievable, the bonuses that they pay out. And where did they get the money? From you. They got it from you. And why did they get the money? Because they have the right lobbyists in Washington, and they make a story that makes sense to them. So they don't think about what's right and wrong. They just think about how many zeros do I have in my bank account. They don't think about how many people got killed doing it, how many people got blown up or burned or wasted or diseased or hurt or injured, how many people went bankrupt or lost their homes. They don't think about that. They think about their bonus. They think about their standing. And that's it. Whether it's Chase or Merrill Lynch or, whether it's some of the big Wall Street brokerage houses in Wall Street, they don't care. As long as they made their money on that IPO and drove the stock into the dirt and ruined the country, or ruined the company for which that stock was supposed to help, they don't care. As long as they made their money, they don't care if the stock goes down to a tenth of a penny. The shareholders can all burn for all they care. They made their money. And these venture capitalists come in and invest money into these software companies, jack up the price of the stock, make all these public announcements. As soon as the stock hits the market, they dump their shares on the market, driving the price down to the floor. They made their money. And when they walk away, the company's sitting there with no money and no ability to raise money. That's your Wall Street. That's why the Dow is so high. Because they're taking advantage of you. And because they're taking the federal money, bolstering the banks. And then the banks, they paid off all this wonderful high-risk debt. They don't turn around and put the money back into the community and serve the public good. Oh, no. They put the money in the Fed, where they can earn interest, and they leave the public good alone. And when you go to get your loan, the answer is no, my friends. Or the answer is never yes. Call us next Tuesday. Call us next Thursday. I'll tell you, how about the first of next month? First of next month, everything will look better. And then come back and talk to us. Go do this. Go do that. Put some more money in a savings account. Why don't you go pre-sell your product? Why don't you get some other investor to invest and then come back and talk to us? What about your friends and family? Can they write you checks? Can you put a second mortgage on your home? Yeah? Okay, well, if you can do that, then you could go for the Small Business Administration. They love real estate to back up loans for forklifts and inventory and computers and office furniture. Yeah. And then the SBA will be the first one to foreclose and take your home away from you. That's what they do. So you can either be part of that process or you can vote it away on Tuesday. And if you vote it away and the safety net goes away and you lose your job, know this. You have always been employed for yourself. You are in charge of your sovereignty. You decide where you're going to go. Forget about those books that says use other people's money to build your business. Use your money. Use your money. You build it up. You save it up. And if you're only working 1 8-hour day and you're getting by, wonderful, awesome. Get another 8-hour job and use that money and save it up for 2 or 3 years and start your business. That's called sovereignty. That's how you build a business. Believe in it now. Work for it now. And you'll see it happen. Well, we have about 15 minutes left. Let me go ahead and make sure that you remember the phone lines are open. We've had a couple of great calls tonight. Let's see what your feelings are. Off planet, 530-413-4511. East of Earth, 530-413-4515. West of Earth, 530-413-4520. If you're listening by cell phone, we're so glad that you're out there because it's a wonderful service that BBS Radio Network provides us. It's 712-432-0075 and a simple access code of 318116. And you can listen to this anywhere on Earth. I would recommend that you had unlimited cell phone time, which most people do now with their plans. But you can listen with your Bluetooth while you're driving down the road or working, as long as it's live. You can't listen to the archives that way. Archives, there's two ways of doing it. You can, of course, subscribe at pbsradio.com and listen to their archives. And I recommend that you do that. Also, a little bit higher bandwidth option. And a couple of bonuses that go with it. If you go to xsquaredradio.com and sign up for their archives, too. You could do both because ours are so cheap. It's only $20 a year. Or if you want to listen for just 30 days, it's $2.50 for 30 days. There's almost 1,000 hours of content on X Squared Radio with all kinds of guests. Next week, we have Michael Cremo coming on discussing his new book, The Forbidden Archaeologist. Those of you that have been lucky enough to get his books and read through them, De-Evolution and Forbidden Archaeology, these are substantial works of the science of archaeology. This book is a little bit smaller. It's called The Forbidden Archaeologist. In fact, it's a lot smaller. And what it is a compilation of all the articles that Michael submitted to Atlantis Rising magazine. Awesome magazine that's out there. Highly recommend that you subscribe to the magazine Atlantis Rising. I've been in it a couple times myself. Great publication. They do a wonderful job. It's a very high-quality print magazine that's sent all over the world. Michael Cremo has submitted profound articles, a lot more fun to read than the dry archaeology, unless you like dry science like we do. And we will talk about that as well. He'll be on the program next week right here on X Squared Radio, and then we will be gone for a couple of weekends. I'll be running archives those weekends. I'll be on the other side of the planet, on the other side of the dateline, toward the outer rim. Yes, there's oxygen there, of course, mostly humans. And we're going to be doing some business there. I may have some things to tell you when I get back, but nothing. I have no announcements to make on it right now. So we'll be running archives those 2 weeks. I'll pick some good ones. So those of you that have missed a lot of the live, broadcasts of X Squared Radio, I promise you'll like them. You can still chat me. I'll get that information when I open up Skype, and I will answer you. If you email me at bagnew@x2-radio.com, I promise you I will write you back. I answer every single email, no matter how long it takes me. And let me tell you, since Remembering the Future, the Physics of the Soul and Time Travel made number 4 on Amazon, I've gotten a lot of emails. But I do answer them all. Even if it takes me all night, I'll sit up and answer them all, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. You are the important one, and I want to make sure that you have everything you need in order to make a difference in your life. Because if you do, you'll make a difference in your life, in the place where you work, in the place where your kids go to school, in the place where you go to church, and that will have an effect on your community, your state, and the nation, and before long, we will have changed the planet. And that's why we're here on X Squared Radio. That's our mission. That's what we're dedicated to doing. And we've now been here since September of 2005 on BBS Radio Network. We have tried a couple of stints out there on the airwaves. Hasn't worked out so well. This is a very fast 3 hours on the radio. Very rare now that we do 3 hours all by myself. But I leave the phone lines open for you so that you can respond any way you like. I've gotten a lot of email from you out there saying that you like to have the guests on. And occasionally, you do like to have me all by myself on this and listen to what I have to say. I appreciate that more than you know, because nothing would... Well, few things would please me more than to have somebody else doing all the talking and me just do the question and asking and sort of guiding and making sure that all the claims that are made by the guest are validated, which we like to do here on Scientific Talk Radio, X Squared Radio. But occasionally I like to just give you 3 hours and let you guys be the guests. So the phone lines are always open. Here for 3 hours, and you can always call in and contribute. We appreciate Dale calling from Colorado, Alex from Missouri. Our producer's a little under the weather tonight, so if you have any extra thoughts out there for health and longevity and recovery, please send them to our producer, Don, so that he will be back at full health. He does this selflessly because he loves it. It's no sacrifice for him. He doesn't do that to you. What he does is he loves you, and he wants to have you have the best content available on the internet. That was his dream, and he's living it. And you are the beneficiary of it, because you get to listen for free, unfettered, very few commercials, absolutely free press, and of course, it's a little off the mainstream, but that's okay, because you are a non-mainstream thinker anyway, or you wouldn't be here. But we're glad you're here. Let me just mention the affiliates once again. We mentioned them in the first hour, beginning of what turned was supposed to be the second hour. We kind of ran it all together tonight, because we can. Don't forget to visit our affiliates, 1-800-PREPARE.com, 1-800-PREPARE.com. Paul Faust, former EMT, and his partner, a current firefighter, or the other way around. They started this website after 9/11 because they saw a big gap in the ability of the average person to be able to access a large amount of expertly put together survival gear, a lot of food, water, medicine, resources, radios, chargers, lights, thermal blankets, all kinds of car safety stuff. So if you find yourself stranded out on a cold road in Missouri, the wind or ice or something blows you off the road, it's no problem. Open up the trunk, grab your book bag, get out your thermal blanket, your candle, your candy bars, your high energy bars that you put in there, and wait. And guess what? You're going to survive. You're going to live, because you were prepared by going to 1-800-PREPARE.com. When you do and you check out, make sure to put in my name, Brooks, and you get an extra 10% off. I don't make any money off of it, I promise you. You get the best price, in some cases free shipping, and it's so easy to navigate their website, 1-800-PREPARE.com. If you're reading the book, Remembering the Future, The Physics of the Soul, and Time Travel, or you've listened to the audiobook, either way you're going to get the audiobook if you buy from our website at the website, at our website, rememberingthefuturebook.com, you're going to get the audio for free, but you're also going to be exposed to Flower of Life meditation. It was originally designed by Drunvalo Melchizedek. It has been successfully taught and practiced all over the world for decades. There are some master teachers out there. One of them is mine, Maureen St. Germain. You can check out all her stuff and her conferences at MaureenStGermain.com. I do highly recommend, if you're reading the book, that you should pick up the CD called Merkaba 2 Meditation. It's at the website, RememberingTheFutureBook.com. It's at the website, X2RadioSquared.com. Or you can, of course, get it from her website, although she has a lot of other resources there. The reason I recommend the CD is it helps you make your way through the meditation, knowing how to hold your hands, how to breathe, what to do. It's a meditation for busy people, 17 breaths, and you're in. And I teach you the 18th breath in the book. Yes, it's a little unauthorized. I was going to say unauthorized. No, that's not true. I have asked for authorization, and I've received it. So I'm exposing you to it in the book, which normally you would have to discover on your own. But I've made the case, and it has been accepted, that we are running out of time. It is more important for you to have the information and be applying it, using the principles in the book, so that you can make your intention a reality and unlock the bounty of the universe for yourself. Because remember, you work for yourself. You need to have the right tools so that you can make this happen for yourself. And yes, I know there's all kinds of marketing out there. My goodness, self-help books line the shelves. Well, guess what? We're number 9 in self-help. Why? Because people can see that you need to have some organized tools to be able to do this. There's no rah-rah to it. You don't go out and buy magazines and scissors and stick the pictures on your refrigerator and look at them every time you go for a glass of milk. It doesn't work. It does not work. You need to have the principles that are in this book. Resonance theory, the ability to use the golden mean, build this through constructive interference. I know this sounds like big words, but it's very easily laid out for you in the book. And you get to do a little bit of time travel as well. You will learn that time is at your disposal and not the other way around. Yes, you can observe the past and you can observe the future, and you can bring those memories back to the present, and you can choose another future. So that's what I leave at your feet. I have opened up the phone lines. Nobody's calling in, which means that you're sitting out there listening in the comfort of your own home with your headphones on, or you're waiting for the archives tomorrow morning, which will be posted tonight. When you get to work in the morning, this program will be waiting for you. And hopefully, Tuesday, we will all as a nation make a decision that will move things in the right direction. At the very least, we will send a message to the leadership that we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore, or something like that. We don't want any more of our money taken from us and given to major corporations. So have a kind thought tonight as you go to bed for Don Newsom, my producer, so that he will recover. I can tell you right now that just a few seconds of your intention added the hundreds of thousands of times of the people that are listening to this program tonight, and he'll be as good as new. We need him as good as new. His kids need him as good as new. So I'm making that request, and I know that you'll grant it. During the week, this week, we're going to be preparing for Michael Cremo's appearance next Sunday. We're going to be talking about his book, The Forbidden Archaeologist. Don't forget, a year from now, 11-11-11, 11-11-11, in Louisville, the Pythagoras Conference. Best to get signed up now. Make the decision you're going to be there, no matter what. By the way, speaking of that, our 11-11 Gateway Mystery School in Egypt filled up. So there's no more spaces available. We might have a cancellation, but it's highly doubtful. If you still feel like you're called to go and you choose to heed that call, you can always get a hold of me. There are things that can be done. You could take my place if you want to. And then I'll meet up with you guys when you get back to Cairo. Sail the Nile the way Cleopatra sailed the Nile. Go back 5,000 years in time on a small yacht instead of one of the large cruise ships sailing like a giant gambling junket. Not that way at all. You get to travel with the guru himself, John Riley, and learn why you're there. And definitely going to have an activation, because you're going to get private time in the pyramid. And unfortunately for you, unless you really, really have the intention of being there, all these spots filled up last week. People just got the hit, made the choice, and boom, they're there. But if you really feel like the impression has hit you that you need to go and make this activation happen, it's the trip of a lifetime. Don't think about it as a vacation this year. First of all, it's not a vacation. Second of all, you're only going to do this once in your life, maybe, unless you really want to do it twice. Think of it as though it's a vacation that will take the place of vacations for 2 or 3 years, because you're going to get so much information that it's really going to activate you and change your life. Then the expense is nothing. And besides, if you compare it to other Egypt tours, dollar for dollar, there's no difference. Performance, way different. No matter how much money you spend, you're only going to get 3 nights on the Nile, and you're going to be sailing with 500 other people, tourists from all over the world. This is a small ship, 18 people. Same money, but you get 8 nights on the Nile. That doesn't exist, people. This is the only place. So click on the 11-11-11 Gateway Mystery School banner at X Squared Radio and find out about it. We might be doing more than one of these, so just check it out. I'm not going to be there the whole tour, but I'll be there part of the tour with you. And It'll be good for you. So we appreciate you being part of X Squared Radio tonight, and we will see you next week right here on X Squared Radio. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station, and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio saying, peace, Earth Explorers.